I've fixed it, so now the Colossians 4 no longer has to have 23 verses in it to be accurate. So it's Colossians 4:2 is our main verse. Continue earnestly in prayer. That continue earnestly is one word, by the way. I've done a study on those, but I don't know that we'll see that in our study. There's just not enough time to cover all that there is about prayer. Hello? And then the other verse is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then Philippians 4:6, we quoted that today in the service, be anxious for nothing. I got to get the New King James. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So those are three key verses, and I would encourage you to review those yourself. If you have family, review them with your spouse or your children. All right, praying is talking to God, to God. It's a one-way conversation. So I understand Scripture. You see a lot of stuff that people talk about God talking to them, and I am really concerned that that is actually could be a door for error. God has given us a very clear written word, and it's much more reliable than even experience and so on. The next 2 weeks after this week, we're going to talk about what to pray for and not to pray for. We'll get into that in a little more detail. What prayer does not mean, it's not repeating empty words. We're going to talk about that more today. It's not telling God something He doesn't know already. We must pray according to His will. God does not do things that He would otherwise not do. Praying is not a way to bypass obedience. Lord, bless me anyway, even though I don't intend to follow You or do what You say. The prayer, fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much, the Bible says. Praying is not getting God to work against the choices that people make themselves. That doesn't mean God is not God and He can't make people do things. But that isn't the way God usually works. God is as concerned with the process as anything. Evangelism, He could save everybody in a moment. But God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to do that. You know, it's interesting that just those kinds of ideas. It requires responses from people. Praying is not two-way communication. Through prayer, we talk to God. God talks to us through His Word. Why pray? This is last week. If God knows everything and knows our needs before we ask, why should we pray at all? And the little ditty that we made up is we pray because we can, we pray because we should, we pray because others prayed, we pray because of good. All right, exactly. But there's lots of benefits. Number one, we're praying because we can, because it's a privilege. We have access to the Father through the Spirit. We are praying because we should. It's a command. Over and over, we're commanded to pray. Pray without ceasing, we're told. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. We talked about that today. Number three, we are to be praying because others pray. The examples of others. Prayer to God was characteristic of those that walked with God in the Bible. Old Testament believers, and you could list many, many. Some that come to mind to me are Abraham, Hannah, Daniel, Nehemiah, and Elijah. I know in my wife's class they're hitting on people each week as well. So they're talking about Daniel today because there's a lot about how Daniel prayed in the Scriptures. So that's kind of their person they're hanging on to. New Testament believers prayed. People continued steadfastly in apostle doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers, for instance. And that's just one example. I've shrunk it down just for review purposes. And what's most amazing is Jesus prayed. If we become like Jesus, we become prayers. Okay? We become those that pray. And Jesus is the Son of God. He is the creator of the universe, and yet He prayed. And even if just by that example, to me that would be enough that we should be praying. God, Jesus set the example. He himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And then we looked at 10 benefits, and there's more than that, but I'll just read them quickly. By praying, we know that the results came from God. That's why God waits for us to pray before he answers. By praying, we keep a proper perspective on life. We liken or parallel this with the Lord's Prayer, you know, your will be done, your kingdom come. By praying, we develop true dependence upon him. I believe that's one of the major benefits of prayer. By praying, we gain help to be holy. By praying, we understand our need of his protection from the devil, deliver us from the evil one. By praying, we learn perseverance in waiting on him to answer. By praying, we understand the goodness of God. By praying, we learn to care for the needs of others. We'll talk about it more today. By praying, we learn proper motivation in asking. You do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you ask the consumer but upon your lusts. You know, it's just for me and not for God's purposes. By praying, we learn proper motivation in asking. I guess I just read that. And then by praying, we gain God's mercy and grace to help us. And I would guess that it would be easy to probably come up with 30 benefits, if not more. So it's more of an introduction than anything. So now to the backside. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 ways to be praying, and I had like 30. So I've pared this down. And there's so much here, and again, we could easily have a Sunday school class year on prayer. Because there's so much, that's what's been so hard. It's overwhelming, the amount of information. So what you're seeing here is just a brief overview of this, but it gives you some ideas anyway. So I have cut out so much. I just don't think we would be able to get through 9 pages of notes and do justice to what's there. So, hey, Lynn. Grab one of each of those. I only gave you one side of the page, so sorry. So let's start out here. We have 11 to go through, and just holler if you have questions. But the first way we're to be praying, all of these end in L-Y, we're to pray secretly. And what we mean by secretly, I've qualified it here in your notes. Let's read the passage first. Joe, would you want to read that passage out loud, please? Matthew 6, 5, and 6. Sir.
And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Okay, what's the point? Is it wrong to pray in front of people? Is that what Jesus' point is here? Yeah, it's your motive. What was he saying? Don't be like the hypocrites. And what was their point? They loved to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Why? Right, that they may be seen by men. That's the point. Elsewhere, men are commanded in 1 Timothy 2:8 to be praying everywhere, lifting up holy hands. It's not wrong to pray in public. That's not the point. But you do not pray to be seen or heard by other people. Now, let me ask you this. Be honest. Is it hard to do that when you pray in public? My wife and I were immediately, like if I were to ask Jeff all of a sudden, I don't know what runs through Jeff's mind, but when I'm asked to pray, all of a sudden there's part of it I need to talk to God, but I need to make sure I say stuff that I don't look goofy to other people. Do you ever think that, or is it just me? You know, I got to pray eloquently because people are listening. And I got to pray long enough, you know, kind of thing. And it's, go ahead, Jeff.
What about in the situation, like if you're praying with your kids,
to me, do we pray that way for us? I don't think that's a wrong way to pray. God help me do this, right? I don't think that's wrong. This is in a prideful. They love to get attention. They love other people to think how holy they are because they're, I'll pray. Now, there's an inside hidden joke, and Joe knows this as well, I'm sure. But if you're a pastor or the son of a pastor, I don't care where you're at, you'll be called on to pray. You know, and it's like, understand, folks, that God doesn't hear me any more than he hears you. You know, kind of idea. But understand, too, that we are not to pray to be heard by others. Now, other people hear what we're praying. There's a concept of corporate prayer, and I believe that's biblical. But we are praying, and notice what I have in your notes there, we are praying to God and not, quote, to people. That doesn't mean we're asking people for stuff, but what we're saying to God so that God may hear it. We're not saying it so that other people hear it. In the way, just, you know, we're just trying to be eloquent so they can think, oh my, how mighty he or she is in the Lord, you know. And it's like, you know what? Jesus says they're hypocrites because, as Annie said, they're doing it for the wrong motive. Is it right to pray in public? I don't believe it's condemning public prayer at all. The hypocrites, the Pharisees, were just doing it so that other people would see them, and people didn't know any different. In fact, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And the response of the apostles was, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, you don't understand. There are whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. You cannot judge people's motives, but you, to some degree, can know your own. Right? And so it's an exhortation not for other people. You can't evaluate whether a person is sincere or not in their prayer, but you can evaluate to some degree your own sincerity. And that's what you're praying to God, not to other people. Now, we always, like, at home, I don't know, we're kind of out of the thing where 13 people pray before we eat. You know, it's for the longest time it was Daniel wanted to pray and then Joseph wanted to pray and we'd have somebody else pray too. So it's like, you know, you're not going to have warm food. You know, thank you for the food, not for the warm food. But at the same time, we're delighted they want to pray, you know. So, and the prayers weren't necessarily meaningful, but we couldn't hear. We keep, Daniel, pray loudly so we can all hear, because I think there's a concept when you pray corporately, you're praying so that everyone can hear and kind of pray along with you is the idea. So there's nothing wrong, but pray secretly. What do you mean by secretly? We're qualifying that. You're praying to God and not to people, not to impress people. You're praying to God. Other people will hear you. There's a part. Go ahead. Absolutely. And guess what? You're not praying at all for other people then, in the sense of to impress them. And by the way, there's other reasons to go find a place of quiet. That's what Wayne said. He goes and finds a quiet place and does that. And it's like, that's great. And then every mother is like, you know, there's just a mild bit of skepticism there, or cynicism. It's like quiet. It's like in our house, you know, I told you several years ago, we used to stay up until all the kids went to bed. And it's like, we can't even do that anymore. It's like we have kids up at 2 in the morning. Not that any two here would be those people, but it's exactly who I'm talking about. But I'm saying, like, and that's fine. You know, and by the way, that's their quiet time, you know, that's their me time, if you will. To some degree, and it's also too, it's like, we're too old, we're going to bed, you know, kind of thing. But you can't outlast your kids half the time. Our kids don't, you know, I don't know, that our kids don't, they would stay up forever, I think, our little boys. I think they just would until they just passed out in the middle of wall running, you know, or something. But the idea is, I heard one gal one time, she would just, she would kneel down on her bed and then pull her the apron over her head. Kids would be climbing over top of her, but that was her quiet place. I've heard of gals that locked themselves in the bathroom, but see, our house would burn down in the process, so you can't do that. But you know, but whatever. Jane will pray when she's rocking babies. Not out loud, but I know what she's doing. You know, it's just whenever, and sometimes she's rocking babies at 2 a.m. because she had to get up. Somebody's fussy or something like that. That's when she prays. You know, she doesn't have scheduled time, but she prays when she can. I pray when I wake up, when I go to bed. Those are two key times for me, but also when I'm driving. You know, so, but it's not, you can pray. It's not that you can't pray. We just have to find time to pray, right? And it might even be, honey, you watch the kids. Give me 10 minutes. Give me a little, and then I'll swap with you. Okay. So however it works, you know, if you have kids or something, that makes all. If you don't have kids anymore, I mean, it's a little easier, things like that. Or if you're a crazy uncle, I don't know what your options are. But. Okay, so pray secretly, and that what we mean is pray to God, not to people. It doesn't mean you can't pray in public, but it's you're not being prayed to be heard, and there's still other things. Daniel went home every day, 3 times a day, and prayed. So he had a regimen, and that's good. That's commendable if you can do that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, they were able to get him thrown in the den of lions, because he continued that regimen even after it was outlawed. Okay, so he went, and again, some people make a big deal of praying, you know, in a restaurant, and I think it's good to pray and all that, but I've heard of people, okay, everybody quiet, so-and-so's going to pray, and I don't think that's necessary, you know, either, you know, to disrupt an entire restaurant so that you can pray out loud, you know, so I think that's maybe more showmanship than it is other things. Mark.
When we're eating in the restaurant, we always pray.
Yes.
And we've had lately, in the last month or two, we've had young guys come up and say they appreciate the following.
Right. It's amazing how you encourage people. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to do that. So, yeah. So, yeah. And you don't get. I don't know that I've ever gotten a bad response for praying in public. They might think you're weird, but they don't say anything. The next one here is in the same passage. Pray concisely. C-O-N-C-I-S-E-L-Y. Concisely. Elizabeth, would you read that passage, please? What's his command there? The one that's underlined. Don't use vain repetitions. Do we have vain repetitions? We have ramp-up phrases. Well, that's what I call them. It's like I'm praying things so that I can think about what I'm going to pray about. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today. I thank you for my blessings. I pray the missionaries. You know, it's like, what does that mean? Okay? And it's not wrong to thank God for the day. You know, it's the day the Lord has made. But I think it's wrong to start. Vain repetition is just empty repetition. Now, some people might think of the rosary. You know, that kind of idea. And that's addressed here as well. But I think we have the Baptist rosary at times, don't we? Because we think if we... you know, we go through these things and we're saying it, and God wants us to mean what we say and say what we mean in prayer. And what we mean by concisely, and I put this down here, more words does not equal better praying. And again, maybe part of that's praying in front of people. It's like, you know, if I pray a short prayer, then it's not a good prayer. And it's like, how long does it take to say this prayer, the model prayer? 30 seconds maybe, a minute, if you say it slowly? And Jesus said, pray like this. Get to the point and pray. And that doesn't, and I put down here, use all the words you need. And does this make sense? Don't pad your prayers. Because more words doesn't make it a better prayer. God knows what you need before you ask. Say what you mean. Now, there's nothing wrong with a long prayer. Jesus prayed all night at times. Okay, so it's not anything to do with length. The issue is long does not mean good. Good is good. Pray what you mean. Pray what you intend. And that's why I've tried to work my way out of just things that I would repeat. I did a Heavenly Father, thank you for standing, thank you for blessings. It was just a phrase growing up that was just part of my, I call it my ramp up, you know, that really had no meaning. It was just kind of an emptiness. And it goes to a point, and then you're starting to think, that's when the pauses come or whatever, you know. So that's what we're talking about here, just vain repetition. If you're not meaning, God, thank you for this day, don't say that. But if you mean it, say that. And it's okay either what, you know, it's you can say that or not say that. It's not the issue, but mean what you say. And length does not mean good or bad. Sincerity means good. That you mean what you say. Okay? So, just, I would just encourage each and every one of you to evaluate as you pray. Think about what you say, as you know. And it's not wrong to pause, even if you're praying in public. Right? Because the goal isn't to fill the holes so that there's no gap. But, you know, if you need to pause for a second, think of what next you're praying meaningfully, that's what it is. So meaningful prayer. So and sometimes we need to pray a long time. It has nothing to do with length of prayer as much as it is thinking that we're heard because we say a lot of words. God doesn't hear us based upon quantity. Pray continually is the next one here. Pray continually. And that ties in with our key verse. It's Colossians 4, to continue earnestly in prayer. I had to look at it because the continue earnestly is a single word in the Greek, so it's a little different. But it's like be tenaciously praying. You know, keep at praying. Never give up praying kind of idea. Susanna, would you read all three of those passages? They're very short. And this is just a tiny smattering of all the verses that indicate this idea. So read the reference and the verse.
Luke 18:1. Then you spoke parables to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing.
Yeah, and those are just a few of the many times we're commanded to pray. Now, one of the things I cut out of this big long pages of notes for this class because we simply don't have time. What in the Old Testament temple configuration seemed to infer prayer? Do you recall in the temple furniture? Remember there was the Ark of the Covenant. That was the Holy of Holies where the blood was sprinkled. That's That the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, but it wasn't. It didn't signify prayer. In fact, they could only go in once a year. That signified the atonement, the blood required to forgive sin. But there was the brazen altar. There was the laver. They washed their hands. There was the table of showbread, like food that you look at but don't eat. No, I don't follow that. But everything was symbolic. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." I mean, everything ties in. But there was one, and it goes all the way to Revelation, and it ties it in, and it says, "This is the prayer of the saints." Do you know what it is? There was a lamp, incense. Now, I'm just throwing this out because what I think of, what does incense do? It fills the whole place, but it's continual. They weren't allowed to let it stop, the lamp and the incense. And if I get, you know, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? Because, you know, we teach our kids to close their eyes and bow their heads, and it's like, you know, that's dangerous to do that while you're driving. Okay, but if we are commanded to pray without ceasing. So does pray without ceasing mean pray like Daniel did 3 times a day? Well, I think yes, in part it means that, to have routine times of prayer, I think is important. But also there's a pray without ceasing idea. How do you do that? And I think in part it's, if I can use, and this is Kevin's idea, and I think it's accurate though, but it's just still an idea. Prayer, there's times of clear, specific prayer, like Daniel prayed. But prayer is also like a smoldering, if I can use that term. It's an incense. It's an ongoing conversation with God. Like you're interacting with your circumstances and surrounding and all of that, and interacting with God on that basis. So it's like incense in the way it's smoldering too. You know, it's a smoldering conversation, if you will, and smoldering in a good way. I thought of another word. That smoldering sounds bad. You know, you need to put out the smoldering fire. But it's just an ongoing ember. Go ahead, Jeff.
Isn't there something about always be one breath away from prayer?
Yeah, I don't know if I've heard that. But it's kind of an ongoing breathing, idea, you know.
What's the one about arrows? Shooting arrows, is that the same concept? Shooting arrows to heaven? I know we've talked about that.
Really? I have? I have, or somebody else?
Maybe that's not a verse, maybe that's just an idea. But the concept is just be ready to just, even if it's little, you know, just little thoughts or ideas, and you're communicating with God.
Mm-hmm.
So like, oh, you know, Lord, there's a, you know, there's a beautiful flower right there. Thank you for putting that in my day.
Right.
It
could be acknowledging things that God has done, or seeing things in light of His Word that you pray for, you know, your circumstances, yourself, others, and all of that. So, because we're supposed to meditate in the Word day and night too, so it's kind of almost like an interactive thing where God is bringing things to mind as we see things and we pray in response to those things. Right. It's not necessarily a full formal, you know, dear Jesus or whatever kind of thing and all of that. There's times of formality that I think what Daniel was doing, but there's also an informal, I can't remember the word I was thinking of, but it's an ongoing ember that, you know, of incense that's offering interaction to God. Because a lot of times, people say, oh, it really doesn't mean praying without ceasing. It's like, but that's what it says. So how does that happen, you know? And it's, well, it says meditate day and night, but it really doesn't mean that. I think it really means that. But it's not like you're reading all the time. That's why memorization and all that comes into play and being in the Word every day. Go ahead. Yes, But I think it's a responsive habit. I think it's one step beyond ready to pray. You are praying. And I'm saying it's something we develop. It's something we work toward. But then, see, to me, that would be more of a formal prayer, too. But so, and that's included. I'm not against that, but I'm saying there's an ongoing prayer as well. So it's not just, did I start and end and I prayed 7.5 minutes and did I cover the things that we need to pray for? That's good, you know. But there's also stuff throughout the day. I think we're responding to God's truth and we're praying in light of God's truth as we do that. And it's kind of an incense, if you will. And by the way, I don't have the verses in my notes here before me, but it's in Revelation. The incense is the prayers of the saints, the Bible said. And I'm only considering that as a incense is kind of a smoldering, ongoing thing. And that's different than just the formal prayers. We pray before our meals, you know, for instance, and that's right and good. Jesus did that. But there's formal praying, and there's also that informal, ongoing prayer that happens as we interact with the Lord. And I think that's that fellowship or communion we have with the Lord, and He wants us to be praying that way. That doesn't preclude times of prayer and going, praying on a list kind of thing, but there's also other stuff that you don't have on your list that you see through the day, you know, the Lord, help this person, you know, that I see, and I don't know their needs, but I know they're being very harsh today. Help me to love them. Help, you know, bless them and their needs that I don't even know about. And things like that. So, Judy. Absolutely. We are to be confessing our sins. That's an ongoing thing, too. It's to acknowledge our inclination to sin and our sins. Right, I think that it gets there. I don't think it starts there, because I think we're born selfish, and I think we're born prideful, and we try to do stuff without God, and that's exactly what God is teaching us. You know, give us this day our daily bread, help me to forgive others as you forgive me, kind of thing. And so I think it's something we learn, but it should be an automatic, ongoing thing, just like the meditation of the Word is. The more we're in the more Word, and the more we're interacting, the more it becomes more automatic. I think. So, Marv, you got some?
In praying, like the 10 people that got helped out. By
their leprosy healed? Mm-hmm.
And only one stopped and thanked.
Yeah. Right.
And then you forget to thank the Lord after He answers the prayer.
Right. Well, even the idea of, when we pray for our food, it's kind of like an acknowledgement that God has supplied, even as simple as that. And God is, there He is, He's given us this daily bread.
He does answer prayer, and all the time I do pray for wisdom.
Yes.
I sincerely believe in that.
Yes. The Bible tells us to do it, yes. Very good.
We should thank Him for
what He does. Right. That's actually on my list. So we'll keep going on the list. The next one is to pray persistently. I guess maybe I should write some of these down. We're to pray persistently. Now, I wrestle with this idea some, but the concept is in the Word. Jewel, would you read that Luke 18 passage there? It's verses 2 through 8, please, there.
Not at all.
Okay, and notice here, persistently, what we mean by that is patiently keep asking. And what I wrestle with here, and I even referred to it today in the sermon from a different angle, but when is it right to stop asking? And I don't have an answer. But there's times when we're aware that God has said no. Maybe there's a, you know, there's a date cut off and it's done, it's over with, and or whatever, I don't know. But I know that Paul asked God three times to remove his thorn in the flesh. And God said no three times. I heard, if you've ever heard Tony Evans, he preaches like three times is the number you should ask. But I don't agree with that wholly, because I think there's things that we need to pray for that maybe are more ongoing or something. But I would encourage you to at least ask three times. But Paul quit after three, but maybe because God audibly said no too, which we don't have that benefit. So I don't. God answers prayer, but it's not flippant prayer. And maybe that ties into sincerity again, too. But the idea that if Jesus was saying there, men ought also to pray and not to lose heart, this is the parable that he says. There's a certain judge that didn't fear God, and people come to him and pester him. And he'll answer, even though he's a sinful man, he'll answer. And he's not likening God to one that has to be pestered. He's saying if a sinful man will respond after being pestered, how much more will God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with him? Notice that. You know, there's kind of like a persistence there that God wants us to be praying. You know, there seems to be that prayer, part of prayer is that ongoing, we mean it because we're continuing to pray it. It's not vain repetition. You know, God's not hearing us because we're just saying a bunch of words we don't mean. But it's like we're praying and we're meaning it because we believe it's in accordance with God's will. I don't believe there's an end date on that stuff in that way. So. All right. Marv, did you have something?
There's people that have been praying for years in their family, or husbands, or boys, or whatever, praying for years.
Yes.
And never stop praying.
Right. And that's what I'm thinking. I don't think we should stop praying.
God will answer it in his own time.
Right.
You can't predict what God is trying to do.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yep, he'll accomplish what he desires, and I think it's not. I don't think it's wrong to continue to pray in that way. So that's why I believe there's time to stop praying. There's even some stuff that I won't even get into today that John says in the end of 1 John says, I don't think you should pray for this. There's a sin unto death, and I don't think you should pray for that. And I think the idea is it's not going to do any good. Okay, but I'm not prepared to discuss that today. So, but the next one here is pray evangelistically. And Melinda has volunteered to read that first one, and then I'll have Brianne read the second one. If you'll, Melinda, if you would read Ephesians 6, and then Brianne, if you would read Colossians 4, please. And if you would read the next one, Brianne. What do they pray for here, and what do they not pray for here? I honestly think that when I say this in good heart, I say this not to condemn, but I think we pray at times the wrong way. And we err in that, meaning well, but we aren't praying the way God intends us to pray. And it actually could be possibly hurtful. How do we usually pray with regard to evangelism? Ted. Yeah, okay. We pray for some, you know, Lord, send someone to witness to my friend. I'm not really thinking that way. Maybe we do that too, you know. No, and I think that's not bad, I don't think. It correlates with what's here. Go ahead. Yeah, we pray, God, please save this person. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, I'm not even wrestling, because can we know that plan? You know, are they elect and all that? And by the way, I don't understand all of that. And it didn't keep Paul from giving his life to evangelize people. You know what I mean? So it didn't keep him from evangelizing. And he felt it that important to share the gospel. So, Judy, you had your hand up. Go ahead. Okay, we're asking God to change someone's mind. But what's it also bypassing? Okay, there's a way to be saved. How is that? Yeah. You got to hear the gospel, right? The gospel is the power of God to salvation. So if we say, God, save him, in some sense, we're saying what? Bypass the gospel somehow, or bypass any efforts for the gospel. Does that make sense? It's like God, build a house. And it's like, well, that takes construction people. There's a process that is involved in building a house. I've already told you more than I know about building a house. But the same thing, I only find one place in all of Scripture that someone prays, and it's kind of in a corporate way. It's not for an individual. Paul says, and I think it's Romans 11:1, that my desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Otherwise, you don't find people saying, Lord, please save them. And I'm not arguing with the desire, okay? God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's 1 Timothy 2. I think that's a good desire, and it's a godly desire to have. But you don't see people, God, please save them. You see people pray for words to say, for opportunities, for boldness. Or, as Pastor Sean brought, that's not even in our notes, say, Lord, send forth laborers into the harvest. Okay? Why? Jesus said, pray for laborers for the fields are wide into harvest. He didn't say, pray that they'd be saved. He said, pray that people will do what is necessary for people to be saved. Paul in Romans 10, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe? It doesn't say unless we pray for them. It says unless, how shall they call him, how shall they believe unless they have heard? And how will they hear without a preacher, right? And then it goes on to say in Romans 10:17, faith or belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we pray, we should be praying, Lord, may there be open doors to share the gospel. Lord, may people maybe be open, and I almost don't even see that necessarily. You know, maybe they be open, and I know I pray that often, but the idea is, Lord, may there be boldness, because the gospel has the power to change people's lives. So the issue is more boldness, and I would say accuracy, which is kind of the Colossians passage that I may speak it as I ought to speak, more than it is, God, save him without my effort or without anybody else's effort. That doesn't seem outside the bounds of God's ability, but it seems outside the bounds of God's willingness to make somebody do something against their will. And so evangelistic praying seems to be related to boldness, opportunity, and accuracy, not praying for conversion itself. Because the Bible says that the gospel will have its effect. It is the power of God in the salvation. And as the gospel is proclaimed, people hear it and they believe and are saved. But people will not be saved apart from the gospel. Does that make sense? So our prayers seem to be in line with, Lord, help me, if it's people I'm directly involved, help me to have boldness, help me to have accuracy and clarity. Help me to have maybe tact even. It's not, Lord, save them without my effort. And by the way, even at times, and Annie, I'm looking at you, there's times when you don't say anything. We mentioned 1 Peter 3. It talks about there's times when it's better for a wife not to say anything, and by her actions, she might save her husband. So understand that there's things beyond that. And I encourage, and I know Annie prays for Kashi. And I know our kids pray for their dad. And that is perfectly fine. I think that is right and good. But I'm saying that there's the Bible way to do things, and then sometimes there's our way to do things. And I think the Bible way works. I think our ways sometimes don't. Because I think I've been in situations where we beat people into heaven. And I don't think they really get saved. We just get them to say something and then we move on and chalk our belt. You know what I mean? Kind of idea. Boldness, yes. Force, no. Kind of idea. And I believe we have to share the gospel. People do not get saved without the gospel. But they are also, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify God in the day of visitation. It seems to make a contingent. People don't get saved by your good works, but they can sure be kept from being saved by your works. Because I don't want what he or she has, for sure. You know, I don't want to be like them. So let me, what am I going to do with these rest? I don't even think you'd write them that fast because we're running late. You want to do it next week? Okay. Are these helpful? I hate this outline because it's not simple enough. And I know I'm not trying to offend you, but it's hard to remember what I'm talking about. And that's what I mean by simple. Things that you can take and remember. But hopefully maybe in the way we've talked about, we'll be able to grab onto them, okay? So thank you. Let's pray, okay? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the awesome privilege to pray to you. And Lord, I honestly believe that, even including myself easily, that if I understood the great privilege I had, I would do so much more. But we just thank you that you allow us to talk to you through the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you respond. And you've chosen to do so, not because we're worthy, but because you are gracious and good. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us to be those that are praying. And Lord, may we be smoldering embers of prayer, as well as those that in routine pray for things that we know we should as well. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us boldness to share the gospel and understanding so that we may accurately do so for your honor and glory. And help us to pray according to your will. We just thank you for just the time we've had around your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Through his word, we pray. Amen.